Oh, this is the Parliament.
Oh, is it?
Best. I claim this land for Britain. We got that. Have you got that?
If you're not getting out from this country...
Definitely the secret police. There was this big fat bloke, and he was looking at me. He was looking at me in a funny way.
The nappies in this country have normal white children on them.
We are going to the unrecognised country of Transnistria. The footage might be looked at by the border guards, so I'd like to state that it's a beautiful place with, I imagine, amazing, amazing stockpiles of babes. The British government say under no circumstances should we go here, and if we do go here, they can't help us in any way. I've just crossed the border from Moldova proper into Transnistria. The flag of Transnistria is the flag that was the Soviet flag. They see themselves as the successor state to the Soviet Moldova, essentially. We just crossed the border, and it was extremely easy. I was a little bit concerned about what would happen. Maybe it's a little bit of torture or some questioning. We just sent the driver through with our passports, came back. They were making other people open their boots and talking and asking them what they had in their boots. We have a Union Jack in the boot. Because we're going to claim this land for Britain. And the driver was a little bit concerned about it, but I think he said something like, there's two English gentlemen in the back or something like this, and then they just waved us through. The driver asked us, well, why did you bring the flag? And we said, well, because we thought it was funny. And he said, prison's not funny. So this is the money of Pekos Pridestrovia of Transnistria. I don't know who these people are. So we've come over from what I thought was a poor ex-Soviet republic to a seriously poor ex-Soviet republic. Obviously, tourists don't come here at all, hardly ever. So everything is in Russian. They have their own Mickey Mouse currency, a country that does not exist. We have no diplomatic representation here. We are totally unsafe. If anything happens, our government has made it absolutely clear they can do nothing to help. They have no relationship with this place. This is no man's land. This is the Wild East. Out of respect for Moldova, nobody recognises Transnistria. And so it's this weird liminal state, but not a state. So this is a huge war memorial, by the look of it. And these are deaths. Russian-Turkic war. Sorry, thank you for that. This is the war between Russia and Turkey. So if you are a reasonably successful business, then Sheriff will just buy you out. So you have an effective monopoly on numerous things, and it's this group Sheriff. They even have their own football team. Anything good, anything successful is bought out by Sheriff, which is the supermarket we're now going to. It's interesting, again, just how I was told by my driver when I came here I was going back in time, and our cigarette man as well, made that quite clear that we would be going back in time, our Golden Deer man. And yeah, I mean, the way they're dressed in there, This is a time warp. This is what the USSR was like in the 80s. I'm an Englishman in Bender. We are in the town of Bender. Hope Not Hate should really come here. In 1706, King Charles XII of Sweden, this was a seriously based king, King Charles XII of Sweden. This was a king that was fighting his own battles, that was in the front line, leading the men into battle, was fighting the Russians, and it wasn't going very well, so he retreated to Bender, which was part of the Ottoman Empire, who were kind of on his side. And then he set up his own little court in that castle over there. When we talk about Sweden now, and we know what's going on in Sweden now in terms of the, you know, what's happening there, it's very interesting to think that even in the 18th century, their king was heavily involved in Bender and things to do with being a Bender. So we're in the box of Bender Castle, and it's a very communal setup. There's no lock on the door. There's two urinals here, and you can imagine walking in to go for your wee. There's a chap behind you there. He's just sitting there in a shirt, you know, reading the Transnistrian equivalent of the Daily Mirror or something, you know,
plopping it out, and it's all very friendly, all very friendly, all chaps together. That's the nature of a loo in Transnistria. Transnistria. And no soap.
The female one is two squatters next to each other with no lock on the door. So there's no lock on the door. So you walk in, imagine if you're a woman, there's a woman there, squatting down, doing a shit, or a wee, or a shit wee. And you just go in, you go, hi, hey darling, undo, skirt up, knickers down, you squat next to her. So are you going to see the Castle Bender? Yeah, I'm going to go see Castle Bender. Yeah. Oh, cool. You married? Not yet. No, I've got a boyfriend. That's it. That's the kind of thing that happens in Transnistria.
There is no litter here. There are no cigarette butts. There is no graffiti. I suppose that's part of the benefits of living in a completely totalitarian state.
So this is a statue of Lenin, and there's lots of sort of the war, half a league onwards, all in the Valley of Death, throw the sticks, Oh, this is the Parliament. Oh, is it? Oh, that's quite based. So this is the Parliament of Transnistria, chaps, and I claim this land for Britain. Make that absolutely clear. This is now an exclave of the United Kingdom. God save the King. We got that. Have you got that?
Yes,
great. Everyone here understanding that? Right, fine. I think because it's a weekend, the Parliament is closed. So it's perfectly possible that if this was a weekday, there'd be more people around, security guards.
I don't know, I'm feeling unsafe.
The Parliament today, it's closed, but I think the police not sleep. Yeah.
That's what you wanted me to do when I did it.
Even born bankrupt wouldn't go with an extremely ancient Union Jack flag and fly it outside the Parliament of Spirit. I was just filled with the Holy Spirit at that moment, my brother in Christ. The Holy Spirit just filled me and said, this is the one and only time you're going to get to do something as potentially reckless and dangerous as this in a dictatorship. The thing is, there are people that have done things like that in North Korea and they've gone to concentration camps and never come out. But they've done things like steal a propaganda poster. There was a case for this, wasn't there? An American. It just felt right.
Especially the part where you realise it's the Parliament.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I just thought it was a building with a. Had I known it was the Parliament, I might have been more circumspect.
Yes.
In 1991, there was a war between Moldova and what's now called Perestrovia, Transnistria, over the fact that Moldova was claiming independence from the Soviet Union. So you have an eternal flame. And they always use these photographs, these images. It's very, very poignant on graves in Eastern Europe. For example, I was in Albania, and they did the same thing. They had the photographs on the graves, which can look tacky, but I think when it's done in a context like this, and it tells you the person that's laid... They haven't just died. They've laid down their life for their country or for their cause, then I don't think it's tacky. It's extremely poignant and interesting. The image here, look, his mother watching him as he goes down the path off to war and possible death and possible glory and whatever. And all the list of all the names of people. Communist imagery here. haven't changed any of it. I mean, presumably this is not a communist country, but they nevertheless have fetishized and look up to and are very proud of the time when the Soviet Union was someone to be feared. Afghanistan war. Basically overcompensating. But another way you can interpret it is kind of inspiring the people. It's letting them know that we're powerful and we're on your side and we're going to defend you. Exactly the opposite of the British government, essentially. So where the British government puts in public monuments in order to destroy your morale and tell you you've been invaded, such as the monument at Waterloo Station to the Windrush people, or the Windrush line on the underground. That's what it does. It's to demoralise you. This is to fire you up and fill you with a sense of your own importance and the greatness of your nation and the power of your nation and that your nation will defend you. So it's the exact opposite of what we do in the UK. And I think, obviously, it's a better thing here. Probably people feel, even though people are very poor here and don't have much, people at least feel their country is kind of on their side in a time of crisis. Here we are, really not very far from the Parliament. You can see the Parliament in the background where there's the Lenin statue. And we have a memorial, by the look of it, for a young man and other young men as well from the past, but at the centre is a recent young man who had fought in some war for Transnistria or for Russia, I suppose, and has been killed. And he's obviously been lionised. So it would be like having a big image of, I don't know, Lee Rigby in the centre of London. They really do have a strong sense of nostalgia for the USSR, chaps. I remember the USSR. It wasn't very nice. They're very small heads, these chaps. I think the Soviet army chap that this belonged to had a very, very small head. He may have had anencephaly or something. Very small head. So we had to wait absolutely ages for the waitress to get her fat ass over to the table. And then we got a different waitress, which is good, we got a prettier one. But then we have to now, we've ordered, and it will take an hour, so we have to bugger off for an hour in order to, and then wait for our food. Also, unfortunately, there are other tourists here. But anyway, onward. So let's go and, well, I don't know if an hour is long enough to get me a haircut, probably not, considering how slow it is, because it is the Soviet Union. It's very, very slow, all right? It's surely more interesting to come to somewhere that is different, but not too different that you're stressed. Like India is so different that you're a bit stressed. Here, it's perfectly clean, it's perfectly safe, but yet it's violently different.
But your face is snatched up.
As we've... Otherwise, do I put more makeup on, or are you going to shut the fuck up? The face is slashed up because of the razor that the director, producer, cameraman got me, right? Which is no normal razor. That's why my face has got this on. This is why. And I'm going to be on the Lotus Eaters the day after tomorrow with this shit. And I have to do videos, and cunts in the comments will say, Ed, what have you done to your face? Just like you did when I fell off my bike when I was drunk, you bastards. You will comment on things. You can't just shut up, can you? You have to comment on stuff. You think just because you have a parasocial relationship with me, that gives you the right to comment. Oh, Ed's put on weight. Oh, Ed's lost weight. Oh, Ed's cut himself shaving. Oh, Ed's got bags under his eyes. Fuck off. Transnistria is an unrecognised country. And it's only recognised by Russia and a number of other unrecognised countries. So this is the alternative gang of countries. There's the United Nations, then there's these countries. Oh, bugger, it's raining. The weird thing is that it seems richer than Chisinau, because it's cleaner.
and the roads are nicer. And people give you the impression, people that make YouTube videos and whatever, about being in Tiraspol, about being in Transnistria, that it's this weird, paranoid police state, that it really is like the Soviet Union, that there's the secret police here wandering around, and like a bald and bankrupt. And if you start filming, as we are now doing, with a large camera, then you will be spoken to by officers of the secret police. That's rubbish. No, it's guys, we've had to just just cross the road, and I think definitely the secret police. There was this big fat bloke, and he was looking at me.
We as in champions move
all the champions, my friend. Yes, you like that.
And Marilyn Manson.
Mr. Khrushchev says he will bury you. I don't subscribe to his point of view. It's such an ignorant thing to do. The Russians love their children too. So you're saying that the standard of living here is so low that they look up to Moldova as a rich country?
Yeah.
One-fifth. The salaries are... our translator is saying that the salaries, according to that lady that we've... I hope we've got some film of it. The salaries here are one-fifth of the salaries in Moldova. And as we have agreed, the salaries in Moldova are about 500 euros a month. So appearances can be deceptive because it's so clean. They're getting money from somewhere, I assume Russia, to be able to keep this so nice. Well, they do have the free internet here, though. That's the same that they have in Moldova. They do have the free, high-quality internet here. I mean, it is fascinating. This is the most fascinating documentary I've done. I don't want to, stroke the ego of the producer, director, non-razor get-a-holder or whatever. But,
it was a fucking safety razor, you bastard.
It was just a razor. It's very nice the way they arrange the grapes like this. Look, and this guy's just selling grapes. And then behind us, I think he's selling wine from the barrel or grape juice, I think. They have this way of making things look good. And what? OK. All right, thank you very much. Спасибо. OK, this is my first Transnistrian wine, chaps. This is, it's very nice. Very sweet. Sweet red wine from the USSR. This is nice.
Yeah, I like it.
This is the white. Or sort of white, whitey rosé-y. Formidable. Formidable. How come you speak English, sir?
Yes, I work in Dublin.
In Dublin?
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Yes, I'm work Dublin. I live in Transnistria. I work Dublin. Holiday, yeah.
A holiday here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How long have you been in Dublin? How long?
This is 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you not find the Irish accent quite difficult at first? Was it a bit difficult to understand, like? It was a bit hard, the way they talk.
Where are you from?
But they speak very quickly, and they're like, you're right there, Harry. Okay, you're a good man there. Oh, you're fantastic. Did you get the bottle of wine? It's just old ladies in literally central London, dressed up in 19th century clothes, singing folk songs. We can do this, chaps. If we work hard, this can happen. Not perhaps in London, but Winchester or somewhere like that. Guys, we've had to, seriously, guys, we've had to just just cross the road, and I think definitely the secret police. There was this big fat bloke, and he was looking at me. He was looking at me in a funny way. He must have been secret police. Hello, chaps. Just a quick favour. I want to thank you all for watching, but could you do me a favour, and that is, could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube, and could you subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all those based science that I daren't put on YouTube, where I put in-person interviews, where I put my vlog, where I put movies I make, where I put all kinds of stuff, including the movie I'm making about Transnistria and Moldova. Now, look behind me. We don't want this. We don't want to go back to this. We don't want to go back to this, but we're on the way back to this. And the only way we can avoid it is by fighting back with the based science. So help me fight back by subscribing. It really helps to do that. And I will see you soon. And tally-ho!